Welcome to the Barnes Flyover. This is your monthly update on all things 104th Fighter Wing, what's happening at Barnes Air National Guard Base, and how they're making an impact right here in the community of Westfield. Whether you're here to learn something new, check out what's happening, or just to hang out and listen, this podcast has got you covered. Let's take off into today's episode.
Good morning, good afternoon. This is our podcast, so you can listen or watch whenever you want. This is our 11th episode.
Thank you. That is Melanie Casino. I am Jay Hewitt, your dedicated host. Thank you again for joining us. Great episode for you on this 11th episode. So we are in double digits officially.
We are, yeah.
I don't know if we're in season two yet. I don't know if we made that decision, but we're still going.
We're almost near our one-year birthday.
Next month will be our 12th episode.
Yeah,
so 1 year.
1 year's old. This is awesome. My bucket list has definitely worked.
So we'll have a nice little 1 year extravaganza for you next month. But coming up on this show, we got a lot of fun stuff for you. We have Sandra Laird-Verdi from the YWCA here to talk about some very important topics during Sexual Assault Prevention Month. So a little bit serious conversation there that we look forward to getting to. And the YWCA and Sarah will be on base Friday during April RSD to offer their services. And we'll hear a little bit more about what they're going to be offering in a little bit.
Yeah. So let's start. We've had some people ask us for our two questions. They like it, so we'll keep it short and sweet.
Back, oh boy.
So, want my question here. Question number one, what was your first paid job?
My first paid job, I was a dishwasher / baker's assistant at this little bakery in West Hartford, and I used to have to get in at 4 a.m. and literally make the donuts for the owner, who was like 75 years old and really fun guy. I still do impressions of him every day, so it's a job that has lasted with me.
Is that where you learned how to make the ricotta cookies?
That is where I learned how to make the ricotta
cookies.
Those
were really good. You make them for Christmas.
It's where I got my love for baking. Not so much cooking, but baking I love to do, so more so like desserts and sweets than like chicken, but
that's interesting.
Wow. I'm gonna ask you the same question because that was a good one.
My first job, so I grew up with a landscaping company, landscaping plowing, but my grandfather used to pay us with ice cream. And if you're anybody in my family listening to this, y'all can recognize this. We would work and work and work, and he'd get us ice cream. But then after that, I worked for a daycare center, just with kids. I was like a helper.
Fun job.
Yeah, so it was a fun job. Yeah. All right. Second question.
Yes.
What are you binge watching right now?
Ooh.
It's like your go-to show right now. If it's it's got to be a show, not a movie. So what is your go-to right now that you and your wife are going?
You know, Kate really got me into, and I don't know if you know this, Love on the Spectrum.
Oh, yes. I have seen that.
I do like that show a lot. Aww. It's way like more...
It's a relaxed show, yeah.
Authentic than like The Bachelor or like the Love is Blind,
Yeah.
So I guess shameless me, I would say that one so far.
I'm watching Daredevil season 2.
Okay.
Which has been, we saw the first episode last night. It was really, really good.
Awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Second question for you. When's the next big vacation you have coming up, if you have one?
I know. I go on vacations a lot. I live in the moment, and whenever I can, we go away. I think we're focusing on a camping trip next. We like going out camping. And I think Europe is this year as well, because it's our 20th anniversary.
That would be awesome.
Adam, my husband, promised we'd go on the Rhine River cruise. I don't know if he's still planning that or if I have to jump in and help with the planning. But
senior, we're locking it in right here on the show.
First. We're going on the Rhine River cruise. All right.
Very fun.
Let's hear about this fun fact in
history. We have our fun fact in aviation history, and we are kicking it off with a good one. April 8th, 1931. What is that? 95 years. Amelia Earhart sets the world altitude record. I had the notes written down. Oh, thank you. We have 18,450 feet, becoming the first woman to fly an autogyro before. Everyone knows the transatlantic flight in 1932, where she became the first woman to fly across the Atlantic. But a year before that, 1931, she set a world record for highest altitude. And that was in an autogyro, which is a very, very early rendition of a helicopter, essentially. But Amelia Earhart making women aviation history for many, many years and paving the way for all women aviators. So that was a really cool story. And the second I saw that one,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have a quote here that she said, the autogyro was the answer to an aviator's prayer, though hard to fly. Imagine that was hard to fly.
Yeah, so Amelia Earhart was very advocative of this aircraft, but a lot of people, mainly men, were very against that, and they were saying, "No, it's too hard. We don't like it." But she was very prominent that she liked to fly, and it was easier.
All right, so let's get into some community events here, and I'm going to let you take the first one.
Okay.
For your love of sports.
All right, we got some hockey. I think it might be the last hockey for a while. So for all you hockey fans here,
yeah,
relish it for all for that doesn't like hockey so much. This is the last bit, so there you go. We had two amazing, really great games back-to-back weekends. The first weekend was with the Boston Warrior game. If you might remember the last podcast we had Justin Frankel of the Boston Warriors on to talk about that game and to really hype it up, and it was a great game. It lived up to the hype in every moment. The Barnstormers won.
Yeah, they did. I would say it was the best Barnstormer game I've ever seen them play. They played really, really well. It was a fun game. I wish more of you guys had gotten to see it. So next year, when we do this, just remember, if the Boston Warriors come out again, watch that game. Come out and see it.
And it was free, correct?
It was a free game.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And I think the Barnstormers won by one goal, if I'm not mistaken.
Honestly,
it was
I'm
close.
So sorry that these games were just back-to-back and I can't remember. But I know the Barnstormers won that one.
Even with two of the Barnstormers trading sides and playing for the Boston Warriors. Maybe they were a little inside job.
Maybe they were helping.
All right, we had that game, and then we had the amazing Bruins alumni play, and there was 17 season in the NHL. Joe Mullen was there, NHL champion. Bobby Carpenter, who spent 18 seasons in the NFL, four with the Bruins, was there. A lot of former pro NHL players, and there was a huge chance for 104th members and their families to meet the players, get their jerseys signed, all kinds of
stuff.
Yeah,
they were doing lots of raffles and getting autographs, and of course the Bruins won.
So. Close, maybe not such a close game, but it was also a fun game.
It was fun. So I was at one point, I was in the box, and like they were like trying to grab each other's shirts, and they were poking at each other. Someone would throw a hockey stick out, and so it was so much fun to watch them just kind of banter with each other, and the coach, not the coaches, but the refs with the coaches, and mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun. So.
Very cool. And yeah, and that capped off our amazing hockey year. Great job, Barnstormers, for another great year. We're looking forward to next hockey season.
We are. Yes, of course.
And I think we got some stuff that was in the community.
But real quick fact about the Barnstormers hockey, that jersey that they're wearing, they are not making it anymore. There are very few left. If anybody's interested in them, find a hockey player, find me, Thunderbolt Council. If you go to their website, they have them there. But those jerseys are very few left until they're sold out, and they will not make another one with an F-15 on it again.
Just shameless plug, I've washed mine like three times already. Super crisp.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It just came out.
Yep. All right, so back to our community. I'm going to keep doing this every month now to let you guys know we do mutual aid in the community. This month we had 6 calls. Westfield, 2 March. On 2 March, Westfield Airport, there was a structural fire. On 3 March, there was a residential structural fire, and they needed the tanker for water. That one actually was canceled en route. Then we had one on 9 March. It was Westfield Airport structural. I don't know what RIT stands for. Fire department. I'm going to have to get back to me on that. 9 March, Westfield.
It means rapid intervention team.
Okay. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you. I'm so glad you're listening to. Another one on 9 March. That was a busy day. They had a residential structural fire alarm. That one was canceled en route, but they still responded to that. 29 March in Holyoke station coverage. And another one, 29 March, Holyoke Mall. Oh, I remember this one.
Oh, wow.
EMS assist with the Cataldo ambulance. So every month we're busy with our mutual aid calls. It's a good thing that Westfield has our fire department on our base, and we're ready when needed.
That being said, I do hope everyone is staying safe out there. May 4th, I believe, is International Firefighters Day, so we should have some content to highlight all of the hard work
Absolutely.
That they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, moving on. We had a prior Barnstormer, Chief Master Sergeant Galen Wilson.
He's also on the show.
Yes, yes. He was on our second show talking about the Westfield Aviation program that they have here at the tech school. He spent over 30 years in the Air Force, many of it on our base. And when he retired, he was asked to teach in the aviation program at Westfield Tech. He started the program, had three weeks to write the curriculum. Years later, he now has an A&P. Okay, Pete, here we go again. Aerospace and propulsion?
Airframe and power plant.
Airframe.
So close.
Man, my son's in this. He's going to get me for that. Okay. So now they've added the P to the program. So they're just continuing to grow with it. And on top of it, he started a program in Franklin Academy. So, of course, when he got this award, about 30 of us, 30 Barnstormers had gone to watch him get that award. And, of course, he also has this partnership with our wing where when he's teaching something in the classroom, he's able to come out on base with the students so they can see it actually happening on the job, and kind of see how the career fields intertwine. And so it's an ongoing resource that they have with us and us with them. So that was one thing that we did.
Yeah, when he was on our show, the second episode talking about the program, you could hear and just see all of the hard work that he put in. So it really is great to see him finally get recognized
that was a good
for
thing.
That.
Yeah. We also are continuing with our Rustfield State classes on base. They're teaching 3 classes, and those are still ongoing. Smith Vocational High School had a tour of our metals tech shop. So our tours, they don't have to be of the Jets or anything. They can be a specific shop. And our metals tech shop hosted Smith Vocational there. And they were learning about the differences between a federal job and like a civilian employment. Mm-hmm. Civilian employers tend to work on making a certain part and selling it and making money. Federal wants to save money and make all as many things as they can just to save money. So there was the differences there. We also did a career day at Kylie Academy, March 17th. We had public affairs, HVAC, CDL driver, and they were all represented. And then a picture here of Jay. He was showing what public affairs can do. And our Matt Abelli, who is in our CE section, who's a state employee that does HVAC, on the spot came up with some rapping song to get the kids involved. It was so funny.
Always trying to show me up.
he's great. I love Matt.
No, that was a great event. It was great to honestly teach everyone what we do. And then I do think I inspired a few kids to go into public relations. So I'll take that as a win.
Yeah. Also, just another quick plug here. We have the Chief Scholarship still going on. It is due April 15th, open to Westfield School seniors, all Westfield schools. So even if you don't reside in Westfield, but you attend a Westfield school and you're a senior, you are eligible for this scholarship, and the deadline is April 15th. So check out our website, go to your guidance counselors. The deadline's coming up, and you should apply. And that's it for what we did. Now, what did we do on the base?
That's coming up. That's next week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
That deadline is coming up.
Where did that time go? All right, what we did on base, we had our Catholic Mass that returned to Barnes. The Massachusetts State Defense Force Chaplain, Captain John Smeagol, one of my favorite last names of all time. He provided communion and confession, and what else do we have on that? I have a quote from Captain Smeagol. "I don't think people understand the sacrifices of the family and all the men and women around the world defending our way of life. I felt called to continue serving after retiring." So it's great that he's still continuing to serve and really help others.
And the services he can offer upon request include everything: baptism, marriage, confession, communion, prayers at change of commands, and other events for the base and its members. And we are going to continue to have Catholic Mass now on base. And so, again, this coming drill, Sunday at 11 o'clock in the LRS building, there will be Catholic Mass, and then at 12:30 will be the Christian service.
Thank you. I do wish I learned about that baptism one earlier.
Did you have
Colin has been baptized.
Oh, and I didn't know about it. You keep me out of the loop.
It was very small, family only. There actually was another baby there getting baptized, and we were the way better family. The priest was like, "Do you renounce Satan?" The baby was like, "No."
No way.
Okay. He was a little older, so he was a little bit more, a little harder
to
control.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on, yes. Thank you.
All right, we have another exciting thing that we made a first, and you went to this.
Yes, the Maine Massachusetts National Guard, the very first inaugural 700-level professional development course at Camp Nett, which is in Niantic, Connecticut. So that happened on March 20. We had approximately 41 airmen from the 104th Fighter Wing, the 102nd Intelligence Wing, the 143rd Airlift Wing, and the 224 Security Forces Squadron. The very first 700-level senior SNCO Foundations course across the entire Air National Guard. So the Mass is leading the way. I do have another quote from Chief Master Sergeant Megan Gell, who is the Mang Professional Military Education Commandant. "This course is critical because it sharpens the leadership skills of our SNCO is... This course is critical because it sharpens the leadership skills our SNCOs bring in order to guide today's force. It not only reinforces what we do, but why we do it. So that was a great course. Kicked off that very early in the morning with a fun run. It was awesome seeing the sun come up and hearing seagulls. Very fun area down there.
Yeah, there's some good pictures on that on our DVIDs. And if you go to DVIDs, you'll find the link to that story also on our AirScoop.
And this course will eventually become a prerequisite for any kind of NCO.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. I like that. Okay. And then
So that was really great. We also had our March 28th egg extravaganza. I think we've got some really cool pictures of some peeps on there.
About 25 families attended. And it's funny, Lisa Petito and Lisa Pian. So if you say Lisa P, we've got two of them. They were both playing around with the peep there, so you can see pictures of them. Lisa Pian is a mother of a member on base, and she organized this entire event. She did really great. She also comes in weekly to help in the Wellness Center, to help restock shelves and do anything that's needed. So she's one of our wonderful volunteers.
Yeah, that was awesome. Happy Easter to everyone. And then we are continuing with our emotional intelligence classes. I've been to two or three. I love going to them. Chaplain Josh Carolla does an amazing job.
We had approximately 100 attend this last round about five classes. If you haven't heard about it, they discuss four strategies: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. About 100 members from the base have attended this class so far.
Yeah, and it really focuses on how to deal with conflict and conflict resolution and going from kind of expectations to results and kind of is it a reasonable expectation? Is it an unreasonable expectation? And which can lead to different routes of kind of acceptance and conflict and resolution. So really beneficial class. I took a lot out of it.
That's good.
That was great.
All right. Okay. Upcoming in the community. Let's keep moving here. This April 11th is the annual Salem Muster. We have about 40 members that will be representing the 104th along with the 102nd will also be there. Our public affairs team is covering the event, and there are awesome photos that come out of this, so I'm looking forward to seeing what our team can do.
Weather depending. Last year it rained and that kind of canceled. Oh, there was supposed to be like a helicopter hovering and someone was supposed to rappel down the helicopter. That was going to be amazing. Didn't happen.
There's still awesome photos.
There's still a howitzer salute. I think it's a 19-gun howitzer salute. But yeah, very great event. Yeah. And it's again to celebrate our nation's first, the very first.
Assembly of the National Guard had happened in 1636, right on the same ground where our legacy as the nation's first began.
Yep. Awesome.
All right. So we also have our annual Boston Marathon support. We have been supporting that for as long as I can remember with the Mass Air National Guard. The 104th will be participating with security support, EOD, and other areas that are needed. And we also have nine members from the Mass Air National Guard running, and two from the 104th Fighter Wing, Master Sergeant Bill Sabadosa and Staff Sergeant Jeremy Harris. They will be running in this, and I'm not a runner, but they had to qualify, and they got in. Yep. So pretty good deal. Also, we're continuing with Westfield State Summer Classes. From May 19th to June 30th, there will be some speech and math classes being offered. Contact Bento Fernandez, Master Sergeant Bento Fernandez, and retention. The registration form for these classes are on the SharePoint. Something you should know, your CCAF, your Community College of the Air Force, you can only get it while you're still in. If you retire, if you leave the military, you're no longer eligible for it. So think of that. This is an opportunity to use your credits you've earned in your training towards your college credits and get that associate's degree.
Take advantage of every opportunity you can while you can.
Yep. All right, what do we have coming up with the base?
All right, upcoming on base, we have April RSD coming up. Our guest today, Sarah, from the YWCA, is going to be talking a little bit more about the April 10th from, I believe it's 10 to 12, 11 to 12?
I thought it was 11 to 12, but she's going to be here at 10. So, she'll be here from 10 to 12 in the LRS conference room with our Wellness Center support staff. I guess there's going to be a light refreshment served, too. So
awesome. Yep. And Sarah will speak more on that later when she speaks with us. What else do we have going on base here? We are continuing with the religious services. 12 April, we have Catholic Mass and then general Christian worship following. April 12th, we are going to have some...
Real quick.
Oh, sorry.
No child care for this drill.
Yes, thank
you. Just remember, unfortunately, the funding isn't there, and so there is no child care for this drill. Of course, if you need any help with that, reach out to Lisa Petito in the Wellness Center, and she could provide you with some resources that are available if you're eligible.
Thank you. EOD will be conducting some detonations on April 12th. We will put out a social media post just letting everyone know. So if you live in the area and hear some sounds, don't be alarmed. They are doing that for training. And then that is... We also have Best Warrior coming up. So this photo, this might have been the third or fourth episode of the Barnes Flyover, but A1C Elijah Harris, he's the guy running with that giant rucksack on and helmet. I believe he has thrown his name into the ring again. He came in sixth place out of, I think, 43 last time?
I don't remember, but I know that he came in pretty good for just a couple weeks of training. And that's Shane Coakley with him in the picture there. Shane is also helping him again this year to train for the event.
All the best and good luck to that. So the Best Warrior Competition, if you didn't know, is a demanding multi-day event that tests service members on a wide range of tactical and technical skills, which include Army combat fitness tests, a weapons qualification test, a land navigation, a ruck march, and a written exam and board appearances. From what A1C Harris said last year, the land navigation part was probably the most difficult, but also the most fun. So.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Yeah. Good luck, and we hope to see you finish at a higher level this time. No pressure.
Good luck. What else do we have? We have our emotional intelligence classes are continuing to be offered. April 14th, we have a whole class for NCOs. April 15th, whole class for SNCOs. June 9th will be an open class for any rank. Make sure you contact Captain Josh Carrillo, the chaplain, Captain Josh Carrillo, to sign up. Let's see. What else do we have here? We have a lot more going on.
We have taxes due.
Taxes due. Get your taxes done.
So taxes are due April 15th, as we all know. But did you know that Military OneSource will be able to give you free tax services? Their phone number is 1-800-342-9647. Our local contact for Military OneSource is Miss Kaylee Valieri, who is also a member on our base. And her number is 781-441-9069. I have been using this tax service as long as I can remember. It's really, really good. And they will go over it with you if you have any questions. If you happen to need additional resources, they have that provided, but it's completely free.
Nice. You can ask my wife. If there's one thing that I will openly say I'm horrible at, it's taxes.
Oh, geez. I don't know. It's a talent. It's a talent to know how to do taxes.
And do math and all that
yes.
stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
We have Cinco de Mayo, or maybe Dos de Mayo, happening on May 2nd at the Pioneer Valley Club, and I believe there's going to be a food truck there as well, so that sounds really exciting. I'll have to get my taco fix in for Cinco de Mayo event. May 8th, May 8th is base cleanup day, always a fun to go around taking photos, everyone doing hard work and cleaning up base on that day. May 15th, we do this every single Friday of every year since 1987, the F-100 rededication. There's a picture there that is dedicated to the 13 fallen airmen.
Yes. Real quick on base cleanup day, wheelbarrows are in very short supply. So CE is asking that you bring your own wheelbarrows. And also CE wants you to send in any requests that you might have, like for mulch or any other specific tools, by May 1st. And you do that by emailing the CE help desk.
Awesome. Barnes annual lifting event, a little bit down the road, but you know, make sure you are getting those gains in now so you can join the 1000 Club. There's a really cool picture of, I'm not sure who that is, but getting to throw their name up there.
Yeah. So they have their try for the 500, 800, the 1000 Club, top 30 receive medals, and your name goes up in the gym.
And I think that's bench press, squat, deadlift.
I don't know.
We'll call it.
It's coming up. We'll have
bench
more for
press,
you
squat,
next
deadlift.
Month.
Okay, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Our 2026 base tour program is available. The schedule is up on the screen if you can't see it. April 21, May 5, May 19, June 2nd, June 16, June 30, July 14, July 28, August 11, August 25, September 22nd. Caveat to those, the September 22nd, August 25, August 11, May 5 are all full. But if your group is interested in the tour, we recommend that this is a great way to come on base and talk to some people that work on base and potentially get to see some planes. We are continuing to get lots of F-35 arrival questions. We know that is what everyone wants to know. We are still anticipated for first F-35 arrival mid-June. So any tour post F-35 arrival would be dedicated around potentially seeing our flying operations or potentially a static if we're able to. Prior to that, we can still do tours, but we can go to see different shops like the fire bays, which are really, really awesome, and a lot of the other really cool shops that areas
right,
we have
right.
on base.
We also have our base is full of history as well, and now we have all but one of our aircraft are all lined up in like a little walking path. So if your history class wants to come on and do a little bit of background education on the history of the aircraft we had, or even around Memorial Day, if you want to know a little bit more about the 13 fallen soldiers, fallen members that we've had on base, we can really tailor the tours to some of the stuff you need, and it doesn't need to be around the F-35. We can do some other things. So that's something to know. And we have some reminders for those of you on base. We have F-35 policy letter updates. Just don't forget, they're on the SharePoint, they're very important. Lots of changes with the F-35 for yes. the tours, the photos, flight line devices, etc. Make sure you visit the SharePoint for that information. Also, remember OPSEC awareness. Keep in mind what you do, who you do it with, and who's listening. And then another update, the RSD schedule for fiscal year 27 is also Ooh. Posted on the SharePoint.
I haven't seen that yet.
Everyone's waiting for that.
All right.
So you can plan out your year in advance and have the schedule for you to look at.
Awesome.
Always an area that everyone wants to know about. We're just going to keep this for a little bit. Communication, if you're looking for ways to communicate on or off base. Real quick, off base, we got all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And then on Facebook, we have the Barnes Wellness Team and the Key Support Liaison family page is also on Facebook. Make sure your emails are all up to date with your supervisors and in the Wellness Center. Obviously, we have a podcast as well. On base, SharePoint, all of the councils, Rising 6, Top 3, Chiefs Council, First Sergeants, Wellness Center, Teams pages are all great places to get information. So, and then our F-35 conversion. You want to give not much updates, but if you haven't listened to us in a while, we've got 36 personnel currently off base training, 2 from LRS, 34 from maintenance, 4 fully qualified pilots, 7 currently in training.
Awesome.
15 new construction projects are still scheduled to go throughout the
yes.
conversion. And 20 is the number of F-35s we are scheduled to get to starting mid-June.
Those are a lot of big numbers, so make sure you are keeping up with us on all of our social channels because we are going to have a very busy next few months with a lot of really fun, exciting content. So make sure you are staying up to date on all of those, making sure you are liking, subscribing, making sure that you see all that fun stuff because we have a busy couple of months coming up.
It's going to start getting real fast. Yeah. Yep. So, oh.
Yes, what do we got?
Save
rounds.
I know, save rounds. I am so sorry. it's getting busy. So I just told we have our Westfield Aviation Museum.
Yes.
So they have their lobby. It's dedicated to the 104th Fighter Wing. It's a mini museum kind of talking about our history mm-hmm. and different things that we have going on. Well, they have an annual fly day. It's for airport employees and Family Appreciation Day. So this is for the members of Barnes and their families. It's May 16th from 10 to 2. It's going to be some vendors, some swag, lots of aircraft to see, whether it be vintage or mm-hmm. new, and then fly day. So there's static display aircraft and vehicles. Oh, food by Mac and Sliders. I love them.
Okay.
They do little mini cheeseburgers. They're so
good. All right.
Good. Located in Hangar 3, right on the side of the road by Tobico. You follow the signs from the main entrance, and it's free.
Fingers crossed for the weather. We both went last year, and we both got up on a couple of different flights that were going on. So,
yeah. Oh, it looks like Bright Ideas Brewing Company will be there too.
All right, I'll be there.
Yeah, and if there's weather's good, you might get a ride in an aircraft.
Very cool.
So it's very cool.
Speaking of, I think we even had some volunteers cleaning up the WAMP
yes,
today.
Yes, we did. We did. We had 6 members from the maintenance squadron. They were all crew chiefs, and they were helping to clean it up so that it looks good for their open house.
Lots of save rounds today. Awesome.
I know. We're busy.
All right. We have our guest from the WMCA coming up next.
Yeah, Sarah will be here, and so stay tuned, and we're gonna just switch over and see her soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Look, everybody wanna go and talk at the same time, gotta walk. Better yet, run, go, hit a lip, hit me up with my homies, and we do it all again.
All right, we're back. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We have our guest here. I'm so happy you were able to make this accommodation for us. Zoom is always a great way to have any of our guests on here. It's actually very comfortable for us to speak with our guests this way, too. So for future guests, you can always come on as a Zoom guest.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining, Sarah, from the YWCA. We look forward to to everything. Yeah.
So first, right up front, I've had a few people ask me, what does YWCA stand for?
So back in the day, it used to stand for Young Women's Christian Association, but we don't go by that anymore. We just go by YWCA of Western Mass.
Okay, okay. I had some people think it was Young Women Children's Advocates, but which is still kind of part of your mission, right? So
yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about your mission? What you guys
do? Our mission throughout the agency is dedication to eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, and freedom and dignity for all, whether you're identified as a woman, a man, child, anybody.
Okay.
And we work with survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, and homelessness, and also human trafficking.
Okay, wow. And I was just doing a little research. You guys have been around since 1868. And
yes,
you are
correct.
The largest, fifth largest in the country.
Yep.
Here in the area. Locations in Holyoke, Northampton, Springfield, and Westfield.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our main office is in Springfield, and then we work in the surrounding areas.
Okay.
In like the court systems, connections for our spaces for supervised visitation, things like that.
Wow. Okay. And you have an office in Westfield. Where in Westfield is it?
So we used to have an office in Westfield. Now it's just our work in the Westfield court.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
Yep.
Very good. So what is the eligibility for someone who might need some of your assistance?
So from my program specifically, so I'm the director of Survivor Advocacy and Outreach Programs of Domestic Violence, Sexual Assault, Stalking, and Homelessness. So I oversee our CBDV program, which is Community-Based Domestic Violence Counseling. For that program, you would have to be 18 or older, and you have to be either the primary or secondary victim of domestic violence. So we can work with women, men, just as long as you're 18 or older.
Okay.
And then I also oversee our sexual assault counseling program. For that program, you have to be age 12 or older. For anybody between the ages of 12 or 17, they do not need their parents' consent for this specific program because of the severity of the nature and the trauma. So we can work with anyone 12 and older. Our services are provided both in person and virtual. We have English counselors and also Spanish counselors. Anyone who speaks a different language, for example, Russian, we can utilize our language line to provide translation services. So that way we can provide the services and interact with the client as well. We also provide domestic violence classes, which is an 8-week mandated DCF program. So that one, it's usually mandated by DCF, but anyone can self-refer themselves as well. And we also provide support groups for both domestic violence and sexual assault as well. Those occur in the evenings. For DV support group, it usually occurs on Mondays at 5:30. And then our sexual assault support group occurs on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. And those are both in person.
Okay.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned primary and secondary. Could you explain, like, to me what the difference of and that is?
Yeah, so a primary survivor would primarily be the person involved in the domestic violence. So, for example, if it's a boyfriend and a girlfriend, it would be she or he would be the primary victim if the incidents are occurring between the two of them. A secondary survivor could be, for example, a boyfriend and a girlfriend get into an altercation in their home, and let's say there's a party going on, and a sibling of one of the individuals involved or a friend, they witness the DV incident from occurring. So for example, let's say the boyfriend punched the girlfriend in the face. A secondary victim could obtain trauma in regards to that, or even PTSD, because everyone reacts to different situations differently. So we can provide services for them as well if it's a situation like that. And also another example for a secondary victim would be, for example, a child witnessing a DV situation between their parents.
Sure.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you have any facts for us? I know I didn't ask you this ahead of time, but I'm just curious how much do we see of this today? Is it more common?
So
I'm also thinking before COVID, after COVID type. That seems to be our timeline. But what do you have?
So I don't have exact statistics, but it is very common. A lot of times people think it's only, for example, individuals who identify as poor or a person of color, but it actually occurs to anybody, regardless of their gender, regardless of their age, regardless of their socioeconomic status, sexual orientation. It happens to everyone. White communities, people of color communities, rich communities, poor communities. So it's very common. It is increasing as the years go. But at the same time, more people are coming forward for help, which is also a good thing. So that's why it's always important for the YWCA and any agency to do outreach and to educate agencies, organizations, communities regarding the topics of DV and SA or stalking, homelessness, things like that. And when it comes to DV or SA survivors or anybody who is in a tough situation like that, it is often risky for them to leave their situation. So sometimes it does take them multiple times of leaving and coming back. On average, it can take anywhere from 7 to 9 times for them to successfully leave. But oftentimes, a lot of people will notice that they say they're leaving, but maybe a few years later or a few months later, they return back to the perpetrator, which is a normal thing for us to see. And that could be for a variety of different reasons. It could be they don't have a support system and they rely on that person, financial reasons, children are involved, pets are involved, things like that. They don't have housing. So we do see that they do go back, which we don't judge them for. We're here just to support them, provide them with the education and safety barriers that if they do return. And we just provide them with the information so that way they can learn to advocate for themselves and get to a place where they're able to safely leave their situation so that way additional harm doesn't come their way.
Hmm. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, I imagine one of the hardest steps is just taking that first step and coming forward. So what would you say to someone to help them take that first step?
I would say if you are safe to leave your situation, if it's safe to do so, we are here to provide you with support, rather that's in person or virtual or even over the phone, because our hotline is available 24/7. So if it's a situation where they're safe to leave their situation, feel free to give us a call 24/7 and we can provide you with resources, services, referrals, education on where you can go. For example, do you have a safe family friend that you can stay with temporarily while we work with you in regards to housing services? Is there a family member you can stay with? Are you financially stable enough to be able to move into a different apartment, house, things like that? And in the meantime, we can work on counseling and getting you additional services if needed.
Awesome.
Okay. How does insurance get involved with this? Is this an insurance-based program? Is it?
No.
No.
So our agency, we don't require any type of insurance, and all of our services are completely free.
Wow, that's great.
Is that true for the first and secondary? So say it was the children?
Yep. Okay. Yep. All of our services, rather you're in DV counseling, SA counseling, if you are in the Children Who Witness Violence program, of getting counseling for children, that's free. If you're working with our coordinated entry program, all of our services are completely free and no insurance is required.
Wow, that's awesome. Is there a time limit that someone has to only has to work with you, and they have to find something else, or like only allowed 12 visits, or what does that work? How does that say?
Yep. So for my programs, we're primarily short term, which in a, it can be anywhere from about 15 to 20 sessions. But if it's a situation where the client is in need of additional time to meet with us, or if it's a situation where we're still working on goals that they have, we do extend services for a longer period of time. But if they complete all of their goals, they are stable, they feel they're in a good spot where they don't need services anymore, then it would be on closer to a short-term service, but we can extend services to a longer period of time as well.
Okay, good to know.
Awesome. And how often do you work with the Guard? So I know you're coming, or the YWCA is coming to our base on drill weekend. So how often do you kind of work with Guard units, and do you have any kind of... gosh, what's the word?
if you have anything that you would say to the military members, because I know we're both prior military, what's the situation with confidentiality?
Yes.
I know that you work with Michelle Tarka, our DPH, and Mary DeCesar, who's our SARC, and Amanda Winslow, who's also the SARC. And of course, we have our chaplains and everybody in the Wellness Center. But how does that work? If a military member was to come to you, do you need to report it? How does the process work?
So all of our services are completely confidential. We don't report on anybody that we meet with. The only exceptions that we make to that is if there's abuse happening, for example, a 51A, if a child is being abused, an elderly report, if we find out somebody of elder age is being abused, if they are trying to harm themselves in regards to connecting them with crisis, if they're going to be a harm to others. That's the only time where we would break confidentiality. Or if we're being called from, for example, a DCF investigator, those are the only times that we would break confidentiality. Other than that, if there is no release of information letting us communicate to somebody, everything that is discussed between the individual and us stays completely in the room that we're meeting in. Other than that, if they have a release form, for example, let's say I was meeting with one of you and you completed a release form allowing me to speak to, for example, Michelle, then I would be able to contact Michelle regarding your services. And you, the individual, can determine how far that information goes. So, for example, if an individual only wants us to tell somebody they're enrolled in services, when that person calls us, we'll say this person's enrolled in services. Other than that, I can't provide you with any information. Or if it's enrollment and attendance, we can say they're enrolled in services, they've been attending, or they haven't been attending, and we leave it at that. We don't get into detail. Even if the release form is broadly open in regards to we can cover anything, we're in the habit of keeping their confidentiality and their privacy. So we'll touch base in regards to we're working on this, but we won't provide any details in regards to what is being discussed.
Okay. So you're coming, I think it's you. You'll be coming out to the base this Friday. Is it you?
I will be present to answer any questions. I'll be also in attendance with two of my domestic violence counselors, Melinda and Michaela. They will also be present. They will be presenting the presentation to everyone who will be in attendance.
Okay. Awesome. And what time is that presentation?
So that is at, I believe it's at 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock or 10 a.m.?
Let's go with 10 a.m. And it's going to be in the LRS classroom.
I want to say it's 10 a.m.
Okay, perfect. And it'll be in the LRS classroom. And Michelle, of course, will be over there. Some things that our listeners should know is that if any of this conversation makes you feel uncomfortable or nervous and you want to move away, there will be people there like Michelle and Mary and Amanda available to take you, or you can just walk away and just, you know, meet up with them later. And also, we have lots of private spaces on the base, so if someone did want to talk to any of you guys separately or want more information and just felt more comfortable having a one-on-one, we definitely have spaces for that on the base.
Yes. And then if someone were to see this, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you can go.
If someone were to see this and let's say they're not going to be at drill weekend, how would they reach out to you?
So I can leave some of my business cards at the presentation on Friday if they want to speak to me directly. But they can also contact our 24/7 hotline, and they can provide them with emotional support, resources, referrals. If it's a situation where, let's say, they feel unsafe or they don't know how to safely remove themselves from the situation, we can also provide them with safety planning as well and discuss safe ways to leave the situation. Or if they're choosing to stay in their environment, we can also educate them on ways to stay safe in their situation as well.
Okay. And Pete, we have that phone number on the slide. If we can just go to it, I'll just say the numbers out loud. 24-hour hotline, domestic violence and sexual assault. The number is 413-733-7100 or 1-800-796-8711. And the Spanish language hotline is 1-800-223-5001. And this is on our slides, and it's a 24-hour hotline. Who are they reaching when they call this number?
Are they reaching a counselor, a doctor? Our hotline. So they're reaching our hotline intake workers, who are educated in regards to safety planning, providing emotional support, things like that. If it's a situation where, let's say, crisis needs to get involved, we will do a three-way call with crisis. And if it's a situation where they aren't able to provide them with the information, we would provide them with information in regards to where they can get that service. So, for example, let's say they wanted information regarding attorneys because the YWCA doesn't provide any legal services other than court advocacy to get restraining orders and things like that. So we would educate them on attorneys in the area, rather it's pro bono or private attorneys, or if they can access the court service centers, we also send them that way to get assistance with paperwork and things like that.
Very good information.
Awesome.
Thank you. I know this is a sensitive subject, and it's somewhat uncomfortable for many people, whether they're it's personal experience or not, or a secondhand, like you had said. So I appreciate you having having the knowledge and the background to bring it to the base, and just give us an extra face to look at when we need someone
Absolutely.
Else. I know we've got our wonderful people, the Wellness Center, and all of our friends on base, but sometimes it's a neutral person, maybe somebody new, they'll feel more comfortable with. You never know who you're comfortable with until, you know, you meet that one person who, hey, I can talk
to
you.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So thank you so much for being on. Is there anything else you'd want anybody to know? I know we're going to see you on Friday, but this is going out to the community as well.
Okay. So yes, I will be on the base on Friday. I guess I would leave saying that if you feel you're in need or if you connected with anything that was discussed today, like I mentioned, feel free to contact our hotline at 413-733-7100. Or if it's somebody on the base, they can call me directly if they feel safer doing that, seeing how they'll be able to connect my name to my face. Because some people prefer knowing who they're going to speaking to. And that just know you're not alone, and that there are people in the community who are willing and very dedicated to assisting you in any way that we can, and educating you in ways to advocate for yourself, to be safe, and to successfully and safely be able to grow and leave your situation if that's what you choose to do.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. And again, it's a hard subject, but I think just the openness and the conversation is really just kind of what sparks, you know, change. And
And knowledge and education.
Yes.
So that's all we have for today. We'll see you on Friday, and we'll see the rest of you guys next month. Again, if you have any comments or questions, concerns, put them in our comments box, underneath when you like that podcast. and we will read all of them. And if they're anything for Sarah, we'll get them to her as well.
Absolutely. And then for next month, I believe, is our one-year anniversary of our Barnes Flyover podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be our birthday, our one-year birthday.
So we'll do something. We don't know yet, but we're gonna jazz it up in here.
All right. See you next time.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.